most wondrous, most graceful, most merciful God Almighty, Mother and Father, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good. We're so grateful to come together tonight, realizing that it's you who've called us. You've been holding us in your love while we grow, and you gather us to feed us with your living word. Lord, we ask that you help each of us come to open-mindedness and open-heartedness, willing receptivity, so that your word might find a place to take root, that we might become the people you've created us to be, to live the lives you've intended for us, and so that we might glorify you by our happiness, our freedom, and our peace. Move in each of us tonight, Lord, in an obvious, unmistakable way, to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. We pray this in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now we open ourselves, mind, heart, body, to the right now presence of the living God as we rest with the beloved for the next 20 minutes in centering prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, staying in that place of deep rest, we'll rest with God in his word, listening with the ear of the heart for just a word or phrase that might speak to us this evening for our transformation in Christ. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the headland of Pisgah, which faces Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land: Gilead, as far as Dan and Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, the circuit of the Jordan, with the lowlands around Jericho, the city of palms, and as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would give their descendants. I will let you feast your eyes upon it, but you shall not cross over." So there, in the land of Moab, Moses, the servant of God, died as the Lord said. And he was buried in a ravine opposite Beth Pur in the land of Moab. But to this day, Nobody knows the place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. For 30 days the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab, till they completed the period of grief and mourning for Moses. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, since Moses had laid hands upon him. So the children of Israel gave him their obedience, thus carrying out the Lord's command to Moses. Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He had no equal in all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants, against all his land, for the might and the terrifying power that Moses exhibited in the sight of all Israel. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 66. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Bless our God, you peoples. Loudly sound his praise. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appealed to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Alleluia, alleluia. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Blessed be God who fills my soul with fire. I love that. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were burning. And yet, for all of that, we find ourselves often in lassitude, feelings of helplessness, powerlessness. And the Bible itself is an offering of liberation and empowerment. is a document that has been taken in so many ways by so many people and used in so many ways, but it has layer upon layer upon layer of meaning, and it is an empowering document in every one of those layers, a liberating document. And if we are in the right place, it can set us on fire. And oh, the apostles were on fire. The Mediterranean world was on fire when the word got out that there's good news. But let's look at the Bible as a sweep of a current of consciousness that manifested in history through the people of Israel at the time of Moses, and actually was rooted in Abraham, that goes right on up through Revelation and the movement into the next phase of human experience. Now, the people at the time of Moses were slaves. They were enslaved to a foreign power. Now, let's take this out of the context of a religious story that happened a long time ago and see if we can find that place in us that is in bondage, that is bound to a foreign power. It might be the false self's addiction to cultural values. It could be lots of things that we're addicted to, for example. But nevertheless, when we're in bondage to a foreign power, we are less than fully human because our spirits are being controlled from outside of us. A fully human being is spirit and matter, and that spirit is a free will spirit that can make choices for itself and is a very, very powerful being. So the people of Israel were liberated through Moses, the good offices of Moses and the wonders he did in Pharaoh's court. But Moses represents the law. He represents, whenever we see Moses, we can get rules, the law. He was a delivery system by which a coherent system of values arrived in the human beings and saw us through a phase of development. So we may break free of our bondage to an external foreign power and then find ourselves in bondage to the law. If you're scrupulous, if you've got a sense of stepping on a crack, you break your mother's back, which I had when I was a kid, I avoided cracks like crazy. I was scrupulous about that because there was something that made me act that wasn't truth. To be incapacitated, to be stuck and unable to move is a pretty frequent human condition. And when the rules get the best of us and the rules become God for us, it's very easy to get stuck in a rule-bound life that has not the freedom of spirit to choose for itself or to offer that freedom to others who aren't obeying the rules that we feel compelled to. So whenever we see Moses at the edge of the promised land, what I hear and what I've been taught is that the rules can get you right up to the Jordan River. They can get you right up to the edge of the inside and the outside, the inner man and the outer man, but they can't enter the promised land because grace takes us into the promised land, the kingdom of heaven within us. Grace is God's gift to us, and of course there's no cheap grace. We have to be in the right alignment to receive it, but the very fact of the matter is that the rules stay on the outside of the kingdom of heaven. They don't go there. So now when we get to Jesus, and he is the fulfillment of all the hopes of Israel, the Messiah is incarnate, and he's teaching. If we see him teaching a bunch of external rules, or if we hear him in a rule-bound Old Testament way, we're missing the best of it. Because he's talking, again, on levels, about realities that are empowering and liberating, especially when he's talking about binding and loosing. Now, the children of Israel were bound in bondage when they were in Egypt. The time of Jesus, they were bound to Rome, under the heel of the domination of Rome. But Jesus wasn't talking about the binding and loosing in the outer world, in my experience. He was talking about the inner world of binding and loosing. And where two are agreed on a thing, my Father will make it come to pass, is for me an expression of the united head and the united heart. come together in one decision and one choice rather than at odds with each other. Some of the greatest slavery there is addiction. And in addiction, one of our centers, we've got three centers, and three brains, we've got the brainstem and the cerebellum and the cerebrum. And when some of those brains are at odds with others, for instance, in the addiction, we get a dopamine cascade in the brain. The brain likes that dopamine cascade and wants to do it again and again. Or maybe the head is willing, but the heart is weak. So to get a human being into alignment, to get us into a place where God can empower us, can let our fire ignite and make us into the people we were intended to be, we've got to begin to notice what's going on inside. For years, I was an addict to a number of things. What I got to see was every single time the addictions got their foothold and kept their foothold because there was disagreement in the internal world. The body might say, let's go eat a dozen donuts. And the head would say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And then the emotions would say, but you know, it's been a tough day. I'm going to eat a dozen donuts. Inner conflict, inner turmoil, a form of bondage and stuckness is anything but fire, is cold and lonely, and it feels separated from the whole. Now, Jesus told us, if there's something that's alienated, if there's something that's separated, make sure you bring it back to wholeness. And I don't think he's talking about friends outside of us. I think he's talking about the interior experience of every human being. So how to get agreement between the heart, the head, and the corpus, the body? Well, it takes a lot of self-study. It takes a lot of internal self-observation to see the processes at work by which these disagreements remain in place, where the heart may stay closed toward another human being, or the head may stay addicted to a single form of thinking or a system of thought. None of these things are free, and none of these things are on fire. They keep us stuck and bound. We're in bond to these habits. And we do the same things over and over and over, year after year after year, both as individuals and, of course, as a culture made of individuals who are like that. A woman named Ann Wilson Chafe wrote a book called When Society Becomes an Addict. And her contention was that the American or the Western culture is a largely addictive culture that wants instant gratification, wants to get its way all the time with ease, and that it's a very unhappy culture as a result. So how do we get head and heart to agree? We study them, we notice, and we watch like anthropologists. We don't push on, we don't try to make them conform to rules, because as you've seen, I'm sure, in your own experience, when you apply, I'm never going to do this again, that's one of the greatest fallacious statements on the earth. Or I will always do this from now on. It's unpredictable. So we've got to study the ways that the false self evades freedom, stays in bond to cultural norms, addictive norms, or bad relationships. And when we see what goes on, clarity can happen, and our attention can move from earth, the place where our body is caught, to heaven, the place where our spirit is eternally free. So this migration from bondage to liberation goes through stages. There's an adolescent form, you might say, that was the time of the law. But now there's a free time when we use the experience of our early life to inform us about our later life and to compare the behaviors that we see in head and heart to the offers of freedom that God is offering to the children of his love. Every one of us is a powerful person. But if we give that power away by closing down the heart, by freezing up the body, or by confusing the mind with passive inputs from television and computers and cell phones and whatever, then we've lost our heritage. We've given it away and we're stuck. We're bound. But we're two or three are aligned in his name, there exists power. When I get my head on something that I understand through the teaching, or the like the work, for example, is a system of thought, and when I can line my head up with that system of thought, it empowers me. When I can open my heart, realizing that I'm loved by God and that I have freedom that he communicates to me that isn't my own, that's his freedom he's giving me, the body comes along easily. Addictions, habits, bondage and stuckness are optional. We are all powerful people. To exercise our choice means a lot of self-knowledge. It means a lot of intake of the gift of communion, the gift of the word, the gift of silence. We have all of these things. And if we're stuck, it's probably because we haven't yet understood that it takes a head, a heart, and a body to make a whole human person, a free being in God, free to make her or his wise choices because God made us this way. Amen. Let's take up an offering for our church. And in the spirit of freedom, in liberated consciousness, we understand and share our tithes and offerings because we know that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know it together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to our freedom in God, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love. In each of our lives and on our planet, over the lie that we are separate and our useless acting out from fear, in Christ we pray this. Amen. I've been recently reading Teilhard de Chardin's book, The Human Phenomenon of Man, and looking into a bunch of other Teilhard de Chardin sources, one of which is a compendium of his writings by one of his devotees. And in there, there's something called a hymn to matter. A hymn to matter. And another one called a mass on the world. And in these, he is hymning and praising and glorifying the God who is the God of matter as well as spirit. No dualistic absence of God in matter, but he's realizing that matter is vibrating with the livingness of the Creator. The Creator has endowed it with holiness for those who have eyes to see. Chardin was in the deserts of China for many, many years when his Jesuit overseers shoved him to the side because his writings were controversial. And while he was out there one day, he prayed, "I have no bread to offer you, and I have no wine to offer you, but what I will offer up in this Mass is the world that you have given us, this beautiful and holy world." And he says this beautiful Mass. And in his hymn to matter, talk about fire. This man's soul was on fire with the understanding of the livingness of life. The static feeling that we have as we look at numbers and categorize everything and put it in boxes and count. It's gone. Livingness doesn't have edges in it. It's always moving and glowing. And this Eucharist has come down to us from 2,000 years ago at least. And it goes on giving and living and renewing itself, finding ever new ways to express itself in our hearts. It is alive with the life God put in it. And it looks like matter. The host just looks like material substance, just like our bodies. And the wine, it's just like wine. And yet, there is infinitely more to that host than the matter we see with our senses. And there is infinitely more to that wine than what it is revealed to us when we look at it and taste it. These are carrying living presences into our body minds so that we might experience the wholeness, the oneness, the reality of God's livingness and onlyness. So let's bring our sense of alienation to the table and drop it. Let's take our doubts to the table and drop them in the face of this vast mystery of life, living us, revealing ourselves to us, and revealing the way of liberation. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of His kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.